Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Another week of football. The Philadelphia Eagles just finished their game yesterday. Last night, a loss. Their first home loss to the Green Bay Packers. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And what we're going to do is just go back and take a look at this this game. I mean, it was a tough game for the Eagles. You look at some of the things that happened, very frustrating plays on offense and defense. So we'll get into both of those. And just to kick things off, what you had is 34 pass attempts by Carson Wentz. That's something that you cannot have. You want to keep him below 35 pass attempts, in that 30 to 35 range. And you want to find that balance with the running game as well. They were extremely imbalanced. When you look at the total carries, you have 13. It was about 14 total carries, for the running backs. Wendell Smallwood was running the football very well for a stretch, and they just took him out. And he was pounding the ball inside. He really showed that he is a very capable runner on the inside, and that's something that we've talked about over and over again. He started to get into a rhythm. You saw him find that hole and really hit it 100 miles per hour like he said he does, and they were getting positive yards. And, again, one of the things I said last night is you're getting 4.1 yards a carry. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy, but 4 times 3 is 12. You need 10 yards to make a first down, and they just got away from it. I pulled Coach Peterson aside after the game and kind of tried to get his feedback, and he said some of the things that were happening was he had some run plays called, but the way the defense was playing him, it kind of forced them to go ahead and check into passing plays. And then in addition to that, they only had 59 plays on offense, so they had limited plays, and what Peterson was trying to do was generate some chunk plays so that way they could get bigger, advance the ball down the field, but it just wasn't happening for him. Wendell Smallwood, again, had 9 carries, 37 yards. His long was 19. Carson Wentz had 4 carries for 33 yards. Now, granted, a lot of those carries were by way of just – making something happen, getting flushed out of the pocket. He had a 17-yard gain, and he rushed for the one touchdown. And on that touchdown, Wendell Smallwood showed me a lot. He picked up one of the guys that was able to break through the line, and then he blocked him, and then he got into the way of someone else that was trying to get to Wentz, and that freed Wentz up to be able to run that one-yard touchdown. So Smallwood, in my book, and I'll say it every week, as a matter of fact, Smallwood is ready to be the feature back in this offense. He is a guy that, like I said, he runs hard, for his size. He runs behind his pads. There's no wasted movement. He's a straight upfield runner, and that's what you want. You look at when they had the ball at the 1 yard line, they gave him, he was about 5 yards deep in the end zone, and he took that dive and he got them 3 yards, got some extra yards for them to have some space, and Matthews and Carson Wentz had the check to the fade route against Demaryius Randall, and they went deep, a 20-yard gain to free up some space. Unfortunately, that play took out Matthews. He had an ankle sprain. He went into the locker room before the first half was over. Then he came back in the second half, and he played in the first series but had to be taken out once again after he caught a wide receiver screen and Demaryius Randall tackled him. So Matthews is going to be in question. We'll see when we get with Doug Peterson later what he says as far as Matthews' status, but that kind of compounded an issue that they're having at wide receiver. Nelson Aguilar was inactive, and, man, they could have used him. They really could have used him. They were stuck with 3 receivers, 3 healthy receivers, and Paul Turner, Bryce Treggs, and Durrell Green-Beckham. And it's amazing to think none of these guys were with the team last year. And, Turner obviously is an undrafted free agent, and he was the guy that was with them the longest. And it didn't work. He didn't get any targets. I believe he played 23 snaps or so. Bryce Traggs got the start, 44 snaps, and he was targeted once. There was one time he was actually twice. And on one of them, he didn't fight back for the ball. It looked like a questionable call, and that's something we'll get into also, these referees, these officials. But it looked like a questionable call where he was trying to fight back for the ball. He couldn't get to it. Ladarius Gunter was able to keep him from working his way back. And they didn't call the flag, which was interesting. It was a third down situation. Then on the other play, Carson Wentz, an area where he continues to struggle, throwing the football across the middle. He was a bit behind Traggs on a crosser. And I don't know if he expected Traggs to settle into a window or what, but there was a safety closing in from the opposite side, and the ball was a little bit behind him. That's a tough throw, and unfortunately Wentz couldn't get it there. So that's another issue. You know, these receivers were ineffective with the exception of Jordan Matthews and Dorrell Green Beckham. And again, Matthews he saw limited snaps, you know, because of the injury. Green Beckham started out the game on fire. He was catching everything thrown his direction. I was really impressed with him making the contested catch in traffic. You know, he had a guy draped on him, and he was just running that slant route. And again, we say it, you know, that's the route that he loves to run. And that's something that he was able to excel at today, or yesterday, rather. I'm still in yesterday mode. But that's something he was able to excel at when he was going against the Packers. And they just got away from it. I asked Carson Wentz about that, and he said he didn't really think it was a matter of getting away from it as much as it was just, you know, the way that they began to play him. But I watched the game, and I'm not so sure that they played Green Beckham to prevent that slant, because he was able to still get inside. Obviously, you know, you want to look at a linebacker dropping back into that passing lane. I personally think that they should have continued to go to it. Another guy that they could have went to more often was Zach Ertz, and that shallow cross was there for them. You know, it was there for the taking. Anytime they wanted 3 to 4 yards, just flex him, in a tight formation, flex him and let him run that crosser. And he was able to outrun the linebackers. He was getting open frequently. They had him on that whip route as well. And Wentz was a little behind him on that. He dropped the ball. And it's just, you know, when you're a quarterback, you got to give your guys a chance to make plays. And that's not what Wentz did on multiple throws. And that's what you saw Aaron Rodgers do. So just kind of getting into the defense, you know, Otis McKelvin was definitely an issue on the football field. I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on, but he's not cutting it. You know, he gave up the touchdown on the slant, the first touchdown to Devontae Adams, and then the big bomb to Adams from Aaron Rodgers, a 50-yard play down the field. And I suggest you guys go rewatch that. And even just any receiver, you know, you want to know how to play the position, you want to see textbook, you watched Devontae Adams yesterday. That guy really put on a show. He made, a concentration catch, whereas you had Nolan Carroll in perfect position. An absolute rocket by Aaron Rodgers in the corner of the end zone, and he made the catch there with Carroll in position to make a play. That was his second touchdown. His first one, he showed you how to run that slant route and give a nice move at the top of the route and get inside and just kind of open up space with the way you run your route. You can open up space, and that's what he did. He turned Nolan Carroll completely around in man coverage on one of his routes in the fourth quarter as well. And then, as we mentioned, the deep catch that he made on the sideline, perfectly stacking Leotis McKelvin. He beat him at the line, put that hand up Randy Moss style, ran down the field and stacked him and faded to the football, tracked it, and it was an awesome catch. And that was just textbook. So shout out to Devontae Adams for that. 5 receptions, 115 yards, as well as 2 touchdowns. So that guy was a player on the day. Jordy Nelson had his way too. 8 receptions for 91 yards. They really started to try to get him the football later in the game. He caught a 22-yarder on Jalen Mills, who, by the way, came in for Leotis McKelvin and took over. And I honestly think it's time for Mills to be the starter. You know, this this display, this play that McKelvin is putting out on the field, this product is not up to par. And, you know, you can't let your team down like that. You can't continuously get beat. And it seems like week after week, this guy's getting beaten for a touchdown or some type of big play. And it just can't happen. So I don't know if they have to rest him because of the injury or what, but make no mistake about it, Jalen Mills should be the starter. And I really tell you, this team needs to look long and hard at the cornerback position in the draft. You know, I can't emphasize that enough. They need to look at the corner. I would draft two or three guys, to be honest with you. They need depth there. So we'll see how that works. That's going to be a conversation for later. Getting to the officiating, and there were some questionable calls, man. You know, you look at a couple pass interference calls. Zach Ertz got violated on a play across the middle, and they never called the flag on that one. And really, it just makes me wonder, you know, what these guys are seeing. And I would really hate to be a player that goes out there and puts my all, puts my body on the line, and these guys are missing calls the way that they are. It just amazes me how some of these calls were missed. And you look at the big play that Wentz had to Darren Sproles on the screen. The flag came out. They called pass interference on Green Beckham, but the flag came out after Sproles had already caught the ball and ran upfield. I mean, explain that to me. I don't think there is any way to explain it, and there were very it was very questionable. And I think it's about time that these officials be punished. You know, I think they need to be graded. And yeah, okay, the best ones get to do the Super Bowl, the NFC, AFC championship game, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? That's not good enough. They need to be graded on a week-by-week basis, and they need to be penalized. I mean, that's the bottom line. Full-time job or not, you cannot have an impact on the game. Now, I'm not saying the officiating is the reason why the Packers won, because by golly, it's not. But they had an impact on the game. There were some calls that if they went the other way, you know, things could be different, and you never know what could happen. So I really think it's time to you know, put these officials out there in the spotlight and start demanding better officiating and keep this game the way it should be. Other thing we want to look at is just, you know, some of the dumb penalties. Fletcher Cox has to figure out a way to not get these roughing the passer calls. The Packers were 6 of 6 on third down conversions at one point, and it was crazy. Ooh, got to sneak. Oh, man, sorry about that. I felt a sneeze coming. But, yeah, they were 6 for 6 on third down conversions, and then they stopped them on the 3rd and 10. And what happens, you have a roughing the passer call, and that extends the drive. And then they had another penalty to extend the drive. I believe it was an offsides or neutral zone infraction that helped them on the 3rd and short. And it's all about keeping the game in third and manageable situations. And that's something the Packers were able to do. They stretched them out horizontally, and they just kind of dink and dunk. And then once they got them to play that press coverage, you know, get up on them, that's when they started going over top. So they really dictated how the game was going to go. And that's what you want to do on offense. You want to dictate to the opposing team how things are going to go. And unfortunately for the Eagles, that's what the Packers did, whereas that's not what the Eagles did. Doug Peterson, again, he got away from the running game. And I really think it was an opportunity to impose their will. And they were doing it on that drive, but they got away from it with Wendell Smallwood. And they started passing the ball. They took Smallwood out. So those are pretty much some of the things I wanted to go over for this game. 27-13 loss. It was the first home loss for the Eagles. Next week they have Cincinnati. Then they're back home against the Redskins, and then back on the road with the Baltimore Ravens. So you got 5 more games. 3 of them are at home against NFC East opponents. So I'm not going to say the playoffs are completely out of the picture. But at this point right now, I think that this team is playing for pride. And Doug Peterson kind of hinted at that when he talked about just, you know, this team going in the right direction. And that's when you start to look for those moral victories, and that's when it really becomes evident what you're playing for. Obviously, every game that you play, pride is on the line, but Now it's time to finish strong, and that's what they're looking to do. Peterson talked about fighting for the game until the very end, and that's what they're doing. But unfortunately, their last two losses were the only two where they've lost by more than one score. So the Eagles are going to have to get it together. I'm Teron Davenport. We appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, TheEaglesWire.USAToday.com, as well as subscribe to this podcast, your only Monday through Friday, 15 minutes of funk. Locked On Eagles, iTunes, Audio Boom. I appreciate you guys tuning in. We are out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with more talk.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.